So we're back, episode 27, and you guessed it, still the January edition of the Lost Chevrolet commercials, so nobody has really harassed Dylan too much to send me another one, so we'll be right back. Lost Chevrolet commercial coming up, and we're going to get into episode number 27.
Hey guys, it's Dylan here at Lost Chevrolet Buick. Man, what an amazing year it was. 2018 was truly awesome. The support that we had from our drag racing community was tremendous, whether it was coming and purchasing a vehicle from us or sending somebody in that you knew or even making sure that you got your service work done here. Guys, we truly appreciate that. With that being said, we're going to continue what we did in 2018. If you're part of our drag racing community and you come and purchase a vehicle from us, we're going to give you $600 on a Visa gift card. It could be used for whatever you want it to be used for. If you're like me, that's some buyback money. So like I said, we appreciate everything you guys have done for us in 2018. Let's make 2019 a great year again. So make sure to give me a call here at 812-897-2220 or just visit lostchevy.com. We'd be glad to take care of you guys. Thank you.
Here we go, staging them up on the left-hand lane. The Throwdown Motorsports 65 Chevy 2. 626 on the dial, it's Zach Slump. On the right-hand side, the Icon Pistons Diamond Engine and Machine 74 Vega Wagon. 592 on the dial, it's Jake Hodge.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, one and all, welcome back to Dialed In. Thank you for joining us this episode 27. Man, this number just keeps getting crazy. Glad that we're still here doing this. Jake, how's it going, man?
It's not too bad. Another night at the old ranch here. Been trying to piddle out in the race shop as much as I can and, you know, just trying to pass time until Diamond Engine Machine gets the engine done and we'll go pick it up.
Nice. Well, here at the Schlump household, the plague known as the strep throat has hit, so sorry if I sound a little off tonight, or off on this show, I guess is better to say, for everybody, because yesterday I was running 102 fever and I was trying to work, and I told my boss I wasn't feeling good, and he took one look at me and he said, man, you gotta get out of here. You can't get everybody sick, you gotta go to the doctor. So, yep, I've got it, Lucas has got it, my wife Kristen's coming down with it. Hasn't been too fun, but definitely on the mend. Yesterday, being Monday, actually we're recording this on Tuesday night, I couldn't do much of anything last night. Felt a whole lot better today, so I think tomorrow will be more of the same. So yeah, looking forward to this weekend. Going to be heading down to US 43, beautiful US 43 Dragway in a tiny town, an Amish country, Etheridge, Tennessee, for the Tennessee Throwdown. So shout out to Chad Axe for putting that race on, and we're going to take the Chevy 2 Throwdown Motorsports Chevy 2 down there with the Sebring Performance Carburetor and see if we can't grab one of them big chicks and one of those cups. I don't know if you saw those, but those are pretty sick.
Those mixer cups, they're pretty legit. And I think last time I went down to US 43, I got my ass kicked by some red and white Chevy 2.
Man, I had a great first visit to that track. My second visit wasn't so much, man, but I got to four cars for 5K and really felt like, you know, at the end, I mean, I guess it's easy for anybody to say, but man, that's one that really I was disappointed that I didn't win, or at least get in the final the way that I was driving that day, the way the car was working. So can't wait to get back down there. It's a fun track. If you haven't been and you're from the area, make a trip. It's managed well. They're catering to bigger money races, having 5Ks, and now stepping it up with this bigger race. Chad Axford's getting into the promoting side of it, and you know, Chad's a great dude and good racer, so I think that's all going to go well. Looks like the weather's going to be halfway decent, you know, as good as can be expected for an early spring race anyway. So I think it's going to be a great time. Looking forward to it, and looking forward to getting out of work on Thursday evening and driving on down to Tennessee. So hopefully we'll have some luck over the weekend.
Yeah, and I know this guy's going to be there. We've got Will on, Will Holloman, after his big crash at Galat. And, you know, that kind of just took over the internet by storm Friday night. And, you know, he kind of just wants to clear up a little bit of rumors. And we kind of just check in with him, really. He's, you know, a former podcast guest after winning $50,000 at Darlington last year. And we're going to talk to him just for a minute, and we'll be right back. So speaking of Will Holloman's crash, we've got Will actually on the phone with us. You got back in the saddle the next day, and you know, I know you're beat up pretty good, but you know, I think that you did probably what was the best route. You went about it probably how I would if I could. But, you know, I know it sucks tearing a race car up, and I know you feel like the ground you walk on just it was somebody else's race car. But kind of just take us through what you remember of what happened.
I remember everything that happened. I had just put a brand new set of tires on Fancy on Thursday. And I actually had my daughter with me. I picked her up from school and went. They had this race for a cruise that night. So just figured I'd go out there, get tire scuffed, if nothing else, you know. And anyway, I get rolling along in this race and going rounds. And I don't remember how many cars were left, but it wasn't many. I was dialed 466. My guy was dialed 458. I really couldn't go under much. And got down, coming up on the mile-an-hour cone. I drive 90 degree, so when I get down just before the mile-an-hour cone, I give him a look. He's a solid 10 to 12 inches in front of me, so naturally, I don't feel like he can win from that position. So I'm just trying to get back to dead on or whatnot, and rolled out of the gas. Just as soon as I touched the brakes, car took an immediate 90 degree right turn. I got on two wheels and was headed straight for the wall. I was in the left lane. It turned right and was headed straight into the right side wall, pretty much at a head-on look. I know it hit the wall. It got up on top of the wall, and it rolled over, came back onto the racetrack and rolled over. Judging by the tire marks on the racetrack, like 7 or 8 barrel rolls, and ended up sliding upside down against the left side wall all the way down past the scoreboards. I remember it just like it was nothing else. I remember when I gave that guy, I gave him a look. I rolled out of the gas, and as I'm looking back in my lane to ease in the brake, expecting to see my wind light on, when I got on the brakes, everything got like dead silent. Like you couldn't hear a sound, and it was straight to the right. Anyway, as it was sliding down the wall, I had the bottle on that run just in case. I always do. And I'm actually sliding backwards, and I'm upside down. So all the sparks that were coming were actually coming by my head, like towards the dash, if that makes sense. And all the thing I could hear was the fuel pump running. So I'm thinking oil, racing gas, nitrous, and sparks. You know, this is
really
not
bad
good
combination.
Like, right. So I did. I reached down and shut the power off to the car. I did do that. And once it stopped rolling, it was kind of upside down and on its side. And like the seat belts are what were holding me. Like I was kind of held in the seat belts. And I reached down because, you know, this time I'm thinking the thing's on fire or is about to catch fire. And as I undid the cam lock on the seat belts, I just kind of fell out of the car, if that makes any sense. The first guy that got to me, which there's a story on him, but he did tell me in the trauma center that when he first got there, that it actually was on fire. And he put that out first before he got me. So then I was, from what I'm told, I was unconscious for like 10 minutes and finally came to. And I remember when I came back to, all the people around me, you know, are like the track paramedics or whatnot. So it's all faces and like people I've never seen before in my life. So I had no idea who these people are or what they're doing or why they're doing it. But my buddy WG Lankus, he happened to be there this weekend and finally drug him back to the racetrack. Out of all these people there, like he's the only face that I recognize. So anyway, you know, I kind of proceed from there to I guess they call it a backboard and a stretcher and an ambulance and then straight to the trauma center. So,
yeah. And I know you kind of just want to disclose rumors that, you know, I saw all over Facebook, the announcer said you locked the brakes up and this, that, and the other, and you really didn't do anything at a line of any normal run that you make. And another thing is, you know, that's a testament. I know every time you've ever sat in a dragster, I've always seen you have your hybrid on and all that stuff. And, you know, I think you taking that stuff seriously also probably is the reason you were able to actually walk, let alone walk away from that deal.
Yeah. Just for the actual like race car drivers out there that race and bracket race and understand, the run before my guy was red, I ran the thing wide open. It went 145 mile an hour. And on that particular run, I went through at 138 and some change. So anybody that really knows Phantom cars, I mean, they're pretty heavy, and I had both of the other Overkill cars in my shop, and I looked over both of them when I got them. They extended the four link in the cars and did a lot of things that I feel like made them better. But these things are heavy and they're pretty well built. I will say that. So, I mean, to be in a heavier car that's going 465 and kill 6 mile an hour and some change, even if you want to call it 7 mile an hour, I mean, that's nothing that I haven't done 500 times in my life. And that's nothing that particular race car has not had happen to it 1,000 times in its life.
That was a walk in the park for fancy.
So that's and I know this is going to sound crazy, but I remember when the car took the immediate right and I was looking at the wall, I was confused, you know, because I'm literally thinking to myself, like, why is this happening? You know, this ain't no Gary Williams power drop, you know? I mean, I'm literally not going under a whole hell of a lot, and I'm just trying to fall back to my dial. You know, that's what confused me. I'm like, none of this should be happening right now. But I raced Saturday and I raced Sunday. I got back to my shop Sunday night, and my buddy Jay Cox that runs Pro Nitrous, he had picked it up for me on his rollback. He delivered it about 9 o'clock Sunday night. And just so everybody knows, it's Tuesday night right now. In the last 48 hours, I've been like nonstop in the shop working, trying to get ready to leave in the morning. So like, I have got the motor out, the transmission, converter, rear end. I've completely disassembled the car, as well as trying to get my car ready to go racing. I've picked up a motor, a transmission, and converter for Mr. Ronnie Maggart to deliver to him. So I haven't had time to really dissect this whole thing. But I do want to say this, even though, you know, like I said, the thing's going 465, the run I killed 6 mile an hour and some change, and really don't understand why it happened. I'm not one of those guys that's going to go back and look over this thing and try and find a reason. I'm not going to say, oh, well, it broke a Heim joint or the X-Link broke in the car. And I mean, the bottom line is I was in that race car. And up until that point in time, I was in control of that race car. And it is now what it is as far as being destroyed. So, like, as far as I'm concerned, like, that's my responsibility. I was in it. Nobody else was in it. Nobody else told me what to do. I wasn't doing some monkey see, monkey do stuff. I take full responsibility as far as it goes. I'm not trying to find an excuse as to why it did happen. I'm not trying to find something that's broke, because after barrel rolling 8 times at 138 mile an hour, that's good enough reason right there for me why everything on it that is broke. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And when I saw the pictures of the wreck, Will, I couldn't believe what I was looking at. All the different pieces of the engine lay in one place and the car in a total another place. And first of all, I want to say, you know, everybody's very glad that you're okay. I know you took a beating, but glad to be talking to you right now, buddy. And so what did you think after you saw the car afterward? I mean, what was your first thought when you saw the aftermath?
Well, that's kind of a sore subject, because, you know, when they put you on that stretcher, they put you in a neck brace. I mean, I saw nothing but the ceiling and or the roof of the ambulance and the ceiling in the hospital until like 3 a.m. I never saw the car till Sunday night, till I got back home, because it was taken straight from the racetrack to a different shop and locked up. But you know, it's funny, I never even saw the car, but I knew exactly what it looked like just from pictures all over social media. Which, you know, I really just don't want to get into it, but I really don't agree with it. Just simply because, you know, everybody out there racing, when there is an accident, like, they have a family, and you never know. It doesn't matter what other people at the scene say, or if somebody tells you, oh, I think he's all right. You know, I thought I was all right until this guy in the ambulance says, look, you look fine, you may feel fine, but you may have something internal going on, and nobody knows that till we do these tests and full body scan. But right. You know, I think at some point, you know, there's a common courtesy there to have a little bit of respect. you know, when it comes to that stuff in social media. I mean, everybody's got a family, and let's face it, it's 2019. Everybody's got social media. And I mean, that's not the way that that family should find out. But anyway,
I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's all fine because I'm here. You know what I mean? But that's not exactly the way that I would want my parents to find out. But no, it, I saw the pictures and you know, my buddy WG Lankus, when I left the trauma center, I went straight back to the racetrack and, talked to him about it. But I mean, look, the car's in two completely separate pieces, but obviously the chassis is no good nor the body, but I mean, outside of the headers and the front wheels, there's really not anything else that I wouldn't stick in any other chassis and go race with.
Yeah, the running gear's still good.
Yeah, I mean, the one valve cover was smashed. I pulled it off, spun the motor over, and the valve lash in the motor has not even moved. There's no debris inside the motor. Like I said, valve lash hadn't moved. Converter was still tight. Transmission's perfect. Rear end is perfect. I put power back to the car. All my numbers are still in the delay box. The odometer's got a stack dash in it. All that stuff works. I mean, the air compressor still works. You know, I mean, really and truly, it does look terrible, and it is terrible. I mean, but you'd be surprised at what is salvageable still on the car.
I'm telling you, if it was me in that car when it did that, there wouldn't be a lug nut left to a lug stud anywhere.
Yeah, we all know how your luck is.
So roll us back through the next day and just about going back and cracking them.
Well, when I got back to the track Friday, and this is like 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm sitting in my truck talking to WG, and I told him, I said, I mean, you have no idea how bad I'm feeling. Pain wise with a migraine. And I told him, I said, will you please drive the black car tomorrow? You know, cause he had the yellow car there. I said, drive the yellow car once and a black car once. And that way, like as bad as this deal is, they had 2 fives Saturday and Sunday. And I'm still trying to, you know, as bad as this all is, like life still goes on. My bills are still going to come next month. So I'm like, look, if you'll drive the black car, like I will at least feel like I have a horse in this race, you know? And he wouldn't do it. I mean, he said, no, I'm just going to double the yellow car. I'm not going to drive it. So the fact that he wouldn't drive the black car, I said, okay. I said, well, I'm going home and I'll see how I feel. And I got home and took a shower. I laid down for about an hour and I woke up having a nightmare. And then I was hurting so bad I couldn't go back to sleep. So I looked at the clock. And I called him and I said, look, roll that thing out and warm it up for me. I'm on the way. Which the biggest deal really wasn't just a race. The biggest thing for me is through all of this, even the ambulance ride there, the ride back to the racetrack. I drove myself home from the racetrack at like 4 a.m. through all of that. The biggest thing is that I was still confused. You know, I didn't understand why this happened. Like I did something I've done all my life, or I've done 500 times, and this has never happened. Why would it happen now? And I knew I was going to have to stand in the shop all week right beside this thing and look at it. And I'm going to have to take it apart. You know, I told myself, if I don't do nothing but go make a time run, I need to get back in the race car. Like I've got to go ahead and get in it, get this behind me. And, got there. I was so sore. I couldn't hardly get in and out of the car, but, I started rolling, man. Shoot. I was actually really good. I had 2 in 6th round at, I think, 15 cars left. And all it was the beginning of the day. I won't lie. The first couple of rounds, I was just letting off the gas, just kind of playing it safe. And then I finally started driving with the brake pedal again. And that's how I lost both of my entries that day. I gave it back 4th out twice. And all it was, like in the final round, I really, as crazy as this sounds, like we had split the money. I really didn't care whether or not I won or lost the race. I was really trying to go down there and take 1 foul if possible, just to make myself drive with the brake pedal so that I know in my mind, like, you know, it's okay to do this, you know? And, I ended up getting behind, which it really isn't the end of the world, but, that's just it. I mean, every time, I mean, if everybody had ever rode a bicycle, fell off of it and never got back on it, nobody would ever ride a bicycle.
Yep, you're right. And, you know, you talked about driving 90 degree and stuff earlier. And I think I said something to you whenever we were at at 131. And I said, dude, what are you doing? Why do you sit like that? And I'll never forget. It's probably my favorite Will Holloman quote. He said, some of us are race car drivers, and we like to look at what's going on in the other lane.
Well, you know, when I first started driving, I was driving wheel to wheel, and the my problem, I mean, this is not a, this is just my personal problem with it. I have a bad, like I can't tell if I'm a wheel ahead or a wheel behind, depending on which lane I'm in. That's my problem with it. That's why I just can't do it. There are a lot of guys that can do it and they're great at it, and I'm not good at it. So that's why I don't do it. But I feel like when you're pre-staged and I'm pre-staged and I look 90 degree, wherever your roll cage is at in correlation to my head, that target's stationary. You know, I can look at it from the right or the left and it doesn't change regardless of what lane I'm in. And it's just easier. I mean, it's easier to spot whether it's daytime or nighttime. That's just what works for me. So that's why I do.
Yep. But anyway, go ahead, Zach.
No, right on. No, I think this has been great. It's been great talking to you, Will. You know, we certainly are glad that you're with us, man, and can't wait to see you. Be seeing you this weekend at Etheridge.
Yeah, I'm coming up there. I gotta drop the motor off out of Fancy. I gotta pick up Lynch's new race tech and stop and drop off complete running gear for a super stock combination, I think. And I'll be there somehow, sometime.
The glamorous life of a professional bracket racer.
You keep driving past all the horse and buggies and all the Amish barns, mm-hmm. and you turn left.
Yep.
That's US 43.
It is the middle of absolute nowhere.
And the tree is sitting about 3 feet past the nose of the dragster. Great place. Awesome. It's gonna hook.
It is awesome.
And it's a flat, nasty racetrack, and you're gonna enjoy it. So we don't expect anything less than at least a winner's circle sometime this weekend, whether it's a shootout or what have you. But crack 'em a couple of days. We'll have you back on next week, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I've never even heard of the place. I was supposed to go to Huntsville last weekend, and all I knew was it was kind of like an hour north, I think. So I was like, shoot, that ain't bad. But no, I mean, I think of Chad Axford as a pretty close friend, and you know, I think it's awesome anytime somebody like that goes on their own and tries to do something and promote, you know. I feel like if I tried it, that he would support me if he could. So that, you know, that's my big reason for wanting to go, is just to support a good friend.
Yep. And it's definitely got the shape and the structure to be a successful event for not only him, but everybody there. And I think you all will be happy. And I think it'll be the most fair race that you've been to in a while. So, congratulations on your runner up. Sorry about Fancy, you know, it can be replaced. And, I'm pretty sure your little girl's happy you walked away and run it up the next day. So we will, we'll catch you down the road, man. Crack them this weekend, and we'll get a hold of you later on.
All right, guys. Sounds good.
All right, see you, Will.
Yep. See you, Will. Guys.
So, Zach, Will's good. He's on his way to the Tennessee area tomorrow. I think he's got a PJ North Stocker engine transmission and whatnot that mm-hmm. he's taking to Ronnie Maggard. I saw PJ and Brian the other day. Went down to Brian's house and got me a Zuma. So that rolls us into the results portion. The Footbreak 150 in Gulfport, presented by Savage Performance, Galen Rollison and the crew. And talk about maximizing your racing possibilities for a weekend. They had races, I think, that we're not even listing results for. Okay, but Friday night, what happened? Your buddy Luke Siebert cracked them.
That's right. Luke Siebert takes the win. Man, he's been starting out this season very well in the Camaro, and he took the win over Scott Taylor. And yes, that is the Scott Taylor, John Doe, Street Outlaws, No Prep Kings, and Street Outlaws New Orleans fame. So cool to see Scott doing a little bracket racing as well. So that's awesome. But yeah, Luke Siebert Performance Carburetors, I'm telling you, you know, they've been on a roll as far as, you know, our guest tonight, Adam Davis, doing very well with that as well. We'll get to that here in a minute. So tell us what happened on Saturday, Jake.
Yeah, Drew Porsche. He's the guy that he did really well whenever we went to the Texas Triple Tens and the bottom ball portion. He showed up pretty well. Ran into a guy named Jake Howard a bunch of times throughout the weekend at Texas Motorplex, but he got him back Saturday night. So Drew Porsche over Jake Howard in the main event final round, an all-Texas final, and it's pretty neat. You know, Saturday was an all-Texas final. We rolled into Sunday, it was an all-Alabama final. So we'll get to that here in a minute. But they had a bunch of gamblers races, 32, 16-car shootouts, and they had a no guts, no glory event that is a $500 entry, 16 car field, $8,000 payout. Winner take all, split it however you want it. No buybacks, no double entries. And our guy Nick Hastings parks it for $8,000. And, you know, a guy that just can do it all, the top, the bottom, it doesn't really matter. Pro Tree, you name it, I'd probably put my money on him. And he also won a 32-cart, $1,500 gambler's race on top of that. So Hastings had a really big weekend, and just like Adam Davis, Adam lost at four to whenever Luke Siebert won. So, yeah, I mean, it was a good weekend for Hastings to win everything but the main event, it seems like.
Yeah, I mean, the T1000 makes a ton of laps. It's crazy how well that car performs, and he definitely does an outstanding job behind the wheel, and top bulb, bottom bulb, doesn't matter. You know, and how about Jake Howard? You know, we're mentioning that again. Just a casual runner-up in a 15K on Saturday. No big deal. You know, I mean, he's in the final of these foot brake races, are winning every single time almost. It's just crazy. So, yeah, and then so Sunday, Adam Davis, yeah, our guest tonight, taking a big 15K win with the Sebring Performance carburetor on that Camaro over Cody Barnhart. So, you know, like we'll cover here, of course, in the interview, you know, Adam coming straight off the top bulb 10K win at Beach Bend the week before, goes to Swapping Feet, which he's, you know, seems to be more seasoned at, takes the win Sunday. And like Jake said, you know, on top of that, getting down to four cars on Friday as well. So looked like a great event.
Yeah, Cody Barnhart was, and he's coming up here and there. You see his name start popping up more. He won the World Foot Brake Challenge last year in Chance Likens' Volkswagen.
That's right. Yep.
He also was Friday's main event winner last year at the Foot Brake 150s. Little known facts. So he went back to back. But yeah, definitely a good weekend for Adam Davis and Cody Barnhart and Drew Porsche and all the guys that cashed in for big money down there in Gulfport. The Huntsville engine, let's make a deal at Huntsville Dragway. Friday, Scott Wright wore him out in the dragster. I mean, absolutely a well-deserved win. I know he's really been refining his racing program as of lately because, much like me, he's had a lot of parts failures that kind of set him back. And, you know, it's good to see a guy like that get it done. Kelby Walker and the Chevy 2. It was a weekend of Chevy 2s after Scott got the dragster win out of the way. The Steve Thurman ride, picking up the 10K win Saturday. Kelby Walker taking on, I saw the video, and I'm not really recognizing who that is, so forgive us. We don't have a whole lot of results to go through here. Thankfully, Chad Axford posted videos and whatnot, but did you see the mess in Catfish's pit area Saturday night?
Yeah, looked like, yeah, in the grass pit area there at Huntsville, which, you know, and he's got it spread. I mean, the car, the transmission's laying over the side. He's got both wheels off. Looked like he got the, you know, axles out. Brakes off the car and everything, you know, it looked like it was in a million pieces. And then, you know, Sunday, what does he do? He just takes the 10K win.
Catfish doing catfish things.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that car dialed. It was he was dialing 549 at Huntsville. And 2 weeks ago at Bowling Green, I saw him one round off 575. you know,
did you see the wheelies it was doing?
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Yeah. Nasty. Yep. That's a nasty little Chevy too, for sure. And Jason Lynch is as good as it gets. So looks like they got it. Whatever they were fixing, it looks like they fixed it. So,
yep. And Austin Sloan and Dad's Rent a Ride running up Sunday. I think he was just there for Sunday alone. I think it was a last minute decision. Maybe it was Saturday and Sunday, but no, it was a last minute decision for Austin to make the short trip down to Huntsville. And, you know, those Worthy cars and Huntsville engines, they're definitely something to reckon with. And I think Catfish knew what he was up against in the final and showed up and showed out. But
yeah, for
that,
sure.
With that being said, we're going to hop into our big interview this week with none other than Adam Davis.
With us today on Dialed In, multi-time Big Bucks race winner off the top and bottom bulb. He's a race car fabricator by trade. This is a man that crushed my hopes and dreams at 12 cars a couple Saturdays ago at Beach Bend Raceway Park at Bowling Green, Kentucky. He hails from Coleman, Alabama. Welcome to Dialed In, the one and only Mr. Adam Davis. How's it going, man?
Oh, it can't be better, I don't guess.
Yeah, I'd say with your run lately, I don't really see how it could possibly be any better. You wouldn't mind telling our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in the race and how kind of what got you to where you are now?
Yeah, well, I mean, I started my dad raced when I was a kid, and my oldest brother started, and I just at the track every Saturday night. So my little local track had a motorcycle class, no juniors. I never raced junior. I raced a four-wheeler, a Bayou 2 Kawasaki. Bayou 2 is what I got started on. Just raced a motorcycle class for weeks. Then the guys with the drag box, delay box, for about a couple months, and then they outlawed me because I was too slow for them. I guess they just didn't like giving a 10-year-old their money every week, so they put me into a different class with kids only at that point. So, but I raced a four-wheeler for about 3 years, and then I moved into a car when I was 14, just a little street strip Camaro, nothing special.
So you went from racing a four-wheeler to double up Adam. So how did you get to that point in your stock days? And you know, that was kind of the tip of the iceberg, and as of lately you really kind of turned it up.
Yeah, I mean, Bones gave me an opportunity with his Camaro, and I quit my job at the state to go out west, do the Western Swing 1 year, and I think I semi'd like three nationals on my Western Swing. So you know what that pays. That's not any. So it was a pretty dreadful trip, but I got home, regrouped to Memphis, and Memphis and Richmond won national events back to back, and just, you know.
What is it about Memphis for you that kind of just brings out the best in you? You know, you see all this talk lately about a 100 grand footbreak race. Everybody wants somebody to promote one. You won one.
Yeah, I have. You know, honestly, it's crazy. I forget. I guess I'm getting old. I forget some of the things that I have won. I forgot that I'd even won, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah.
Until a few weeks ago, I sold my house and I was moving my shop, and I found all my big checks kind of stuck behind some of my stuff, and I was going through them and actually run across it. And I had actually cut a corner out of it, making a blinder out of it one day. Didn't even know it was $100,000 check.
You can go ahead and just practice falling down. We'll be there in a minute.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the real one anyway. You know, I mean, it really doesn't matter, just for decoration.
Yeah. I done blew through the other one.
So take us through the last 2 weeks. You know, is this, and for those that don't know, so Adam has been the winner of 10 grand at Beach Bend on the Top Bulb, and then took the same car to Gulfport, Mississippi the next week and wins 15 grand on the bottom. So is this kind of run something you saw coming going into this year? I mean, we know you came off last year at the Million, you know, you won the 25 grander. So, you know, at the end of last year was looking really good. So is this something that you kind of saw coming this year?
Not really. I mean, I wasn't even planning on going to Bowling Green until Friday night about 6:30. Yeah. Danny calls like, "Hey man, let's go to Bowling Green." And I'm like, I was thinking about going to Music City to run for 2 grand just cause I felt like I had a chance foot breaking. I really don't hit the top very well. I mean, I have my days that, you know, I'm okay, but then I started out Bowling Green with an 80 spread.
Mm-hmm.
My first two hits, I'm negative 20 to positive 80 or positive 60. So, you know, it's not looking very good. I actually was sitting in the truck. We took truck and open trailer. I'm sitting in the truck thinking my odds of making money today, I probably should let Danny just double, because I mean, he hits it better than I do, and my car is really good. And the joke is, on the way up there, I told him, I said, "Look, dude, I'd rather you take 660 and break out a thou than get down there and try to pedal somebody and give it back and go one above and get behind a few thou." Because, you know, we know Danny, let's just make time runs, make this simple for you, you know. But but that was my thought, honestly, before first round, was just letting Danny have both entries and me just kind of sitting back watching. But I had one light better than a 13 at Bowling Green. One light. So it wasn't very stellar, but the car bailed us both out for pretty much the whole race. But I'll take it. Hey, the lady at the bank didn't ask any questions on Monday morning.
I wish I was as bad as you, buddy. I promise.
Well,
and the strategy with Danny just about worked out.
It did. I mean, you know,
right.
That was a nasty lap.
It was. Honestly, I was a little disappointed because I ain't really sure why the car picked up, but it did that run. You know, it really didn't pick up with me. It stayed where it was at with me. You know, it is what it is. They have a mind of their own.
So you've won a $100,000 foot brake race at Memphis. You won a 30K when the Million was in Memphis. But you had an S10 at one point. Can I tell us about the trans brake button you had in that thing?
Yeah, it was.
Was that some Alabama homegrown fabrication?
It kind of led me to where I'm at now. This was all before they invented Force, I think. Maybe. I don't know how long it's been out. But I went to Lowe's and got me a light, like you flip your lights on in your house. Had it mounted to the side of my seat. And that was my trans brakes. I got to where I was. I won several 5 granders and 10 granders at our local tracks. Just flipping a light switch.
Are we talking off the top?
Oh, off the top, yeah, absolutely.
Huh.
Flipping a light switch.
That's awesome.
Less than $5 for a trans brake switch.
Yeah, B&M wants what, $55 right now for a mushroom?
Absolutely, button? They're overpriced, I guess. But you just go to if you don't want to buy a Z-Force delay box, just go to Lowe's, get you a light switch, and it just takes all the. That was my problem. I couldn't, you know, I just always want to flinch. Always just the longer trees I struggled on, the quicker trees I was better on. But I just, you know, man, I think about this crap day and night. I always want to try to do something to be better, and I got out and hooked it into my practice tree, and like I was pretty good with it. So I was like, I'm trying it.
Let's watch it now. Out. There's gonna be a rash of racers running out to Lowe's or Home Depot to buy a light switch. We're gonna start seeing them through the lanes of all the big money bracket races now. The secret's out.
Yeah. So now my cars are nicer, so I really don't want a light switch in there. So I just, you know, got hooked up with Kevin at K&R and got me a Z-Force box. You know, I push. I do push now. My lights, you know. I'm a time run guy in pro. Like, you give me a few runs, I'll zone in. I might be 15 to 25 every run, but, you know, but when I was letting go, it didn't matter if I'd had 10 runs. I was liable to be 50 at any time or negative. It was the Z-Force has really done it for me.
Yeah, the Z-Force is really it's a game changer. You know, I just got one at the end of last year, but I think the only two people I know that use it quite religiously are you and Stacker.
Yeah.
But it's if that's any indication, we need to get with the program because it's working out for both of you, it seems like.
It really helps. I mean, you know me, but, you know, everybody's different. Everybody's got their butt. I like them.
A guy came out years ago, had that. I think it's still out there, called Shoot the Light. I don't know if you guys had ever seen that, but it's set up like a literally like a gun trigger. And then there's one that you pull the whole thing back into it. So interesting. I've seen a bunch of different ways, that's for sure. Somebody told me one time a guy ran a mouthpiece and he would bite down on it and he would open up his jaws whenever the light came on. He said that the idea behind that was that the muscles were closer to your brain, so it was more accurate.
Oh man, that's some Rodney Fincham stuff right there.
That is.
I have no way like of verifying that whatsoever. Like, yes, like so we're going over a ton of these huge wins that you've had in your career, Adam. I mean, you know, and we talked a little bit now about trans brake button, but let's talk about like yourself as a driver. Is there something in particular that helps your folk in a late round? Money's on the line.
You know, I really feel like that's been more of my problem the last few years. Bottom ball brake, just a little bit of the lack of focus. I think it takes a lot more focus on bottom ball brakes. The tree staggered and just falling, you know, the way it does. But, you know, that was one thing I really did this weekend was over the winter, I've just kind of thought, you know, I ain't been as good as I wanted to be on the bottom. So I've actually been reading a book. It's like How to Think, and it's got me back on the whole focus thing. And that was one thing I really did this weekend. I got in the car sooner than I have. I really just, you know, just close my eyes and just picture the run and focus more and just, you know, honestly, just get my mind right. And, you know, honestly, I hit the tree better this weekend on the bottom than I have the last couple of years, just for every pass. You know, I mean, I get in my spots, I hit it good, but then I have more 30 and 40 lights than I've ever had bottom bulb race. You know, this weekend, I really hit it well. You know, I don't know if y'all know, I had a little distraction on Saturday. I actually took the Chevy 2 and the Camaro, and second round I was doubled in both cars, and the Chevy 2 actually something happened at the finish line, and I mean, my Chevy 2 blazed up on me, caught fire. So Saturday after second round, my car caught on fire. It burned it up pretty good under the hood. And Saturday I really didn't even after the car caught on fire, I went 0-3. I mean, I'd come back, just tried to get focused. Everybody asked me what's wrong, what happened, you know, but couldn't get it together. Had a few drinks, you know, got over it, went to the casino, a couple $100 playing blackjack. I got a little, had a few Crown and Coke, told everybody that was with me, Brad and my buddy Robert, and pretty much told them, tomorrow's my day, I'm fixing to go crack them. And, you know, I went into it with my car's great, and I stayed focused all day, and, you know, you know, you got to have your luck. I mean, I had my few lucky rounds, but, you know, I actually drove as good as I have on the bottom.
So, I don't know what it is about Alabama. You know, you all say that you have the best bracket racers, right?
Yeah, that's what they tell me. I don't get into all that. I know how it is. Everybody's got good racers.
No, you can be honest. That's cool.
I mean, I am honest. I mean, I really feel like there's a bunch of good racers out there, but.
Well, you take all these bracket racers from Alabama that are on the top of that list that everybody brings up first, and you say, hey, give me something, Adam. Give me a story about Adam Davis that'll make him talk. They all run scared like you're the plague, man. I sent Bones a text message and said, hey, Bones, what you got on AD that can make him talk? And I'll read you what he said word for word right here. He said, nope, not saying anything. Tell him I said that, too.
That's right. He has nothing to say.
And let's see. Seth Lancaster said, yep, I'm with Bones.
I mean, I guess, I don't have nothing to say. I mean,
see, all right, so if you were to write
both,
a book.
Hey, let's put it this way. They both know they don't want him.
Well, before they said that, I said something along the lines of crazy. And I mean, you let go like crazy, but I don't know anything about afterwards or before or during, so.
I'm pretty crazy. I mean, I like to have a good time.
Yeah. I mean,
I tell it like it is sometimes, and people don't like to hear it.
So if you were to write a book, where would it be sold?
I don't know. I'm not very smart. I could never write a book.
So, Adam, what's your favorite race to attend each year, and why?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I mean, I like the bottom bulb race. I really have, at the beginning of the year, I plan to go to zero top bulb race, and then I show up at a here, and, you know, I always in the WFC, always attend the Thanksgiving footbreak race. You know, I guess, you know, if it's a big money bottom bulb race, I guess they're all my favorite. I just, you know, I say bottom bulb too. I mostly stick to break stuff. I hardly go to very many no box races. There just isn't many around, you know. If it's bottom bulb, bro, I like them. Big money bottom bulb. I feel competitive.
So last year at the Million, you won $25,000. And I kind of hear some mixed stories here, not by anybody named Danny Weaver or anything. What did you do to the Camaro before the final round?
What did I do before the final?
Yeah, you made a little chassis adjustment or some weight. You moved some weight around, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I may have added 60, 70 pounds to it. It was actually at semi. You know, I run Langdon, I think, maybe five car. I don't know. I run Langdon late. You know, I double-bulbed him, as everybody knows.
That was at five, yes.
That was at five. I double-bulbed Langdon. He red. I knocked the tires off because they didn't want to run the tractor up and down the Dewey racetrack. So I was the first pair out on a 9-inch radial, and obviously I knocked the tire off. So I come back around, and everybody, Brad's like, just put some weight in it. I'm like, no, if you know, weight ain't gonna help right here. They was due on the track. I mean, that's bottom line. This thing's never spun before. It's the first time. It caught me off guard. So I just threw some weight in it for my bye run, made my bye run, come back around. And then in the finals, I pulled a little bit out just so I'd be a little. I was parked beside my buddy that I run in the finals, so I just pulled a little weight out because I knew I wasn't probably going to be better than 20, just where I could, you know, be going a little bit under and be hot. You know, luckily, I got lucky. I took a few thou, I think, to go dead zero or so.
But
I shuffled away the last few rounds of the race. You know, I put 70 in on my bye run, pulled, I think, about 30 or 40 back out for the finals.
It worked.
It did work. Matters. But, you
just
know,
like the lady at the bank didn't say, why'd you do that?
She didn't say nothing about it. You know, I swear, I go to top bulb races. I don't go feeling like I'm supposed to win like I do when I go to a footbreaker. I have lucked up and won a few of the last few races, the last two big money top bulb races I've been to, I have won. It's honestly because I just don't screw up, really. I mean, my car makes good runs. I'm just not red, and I'm really typically not dead, you know.
So tell us a little bit about, tell us about Adam Davis race cars and what got you started in the fabricating side.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of fabricating. I mostly just do wiring and plumbing and assembling stuff, you know. But honestly, I started wiring a bunch of cars when I worked at Huntsville Engine. When my son was born 5 years ago, I become a stay-at-home dad. And I told my wife, I was like, I was driving to work every day, no more than I was going to make and pay child care and stuff. I was like, you know, I'll just stay at home with kids. I'll start wiring race cars from home to make me a little bit of race. Kind of blew up on me. Got more work to get done and do. I have to turn a lot of work away, you know, kind of neglect my own cars a little bit because of it.
So what, do you know what caused the Chevy 2 to catch fire yet?
Obviously it had a fuel leak. Obviously, the guy was red on me that I was running. I was holding two. I was just going to make me a time shot. Right before the mile per hour cones, it actually laid over, run out of fuel, just kind of fluttered real bad and shut down. I was down like 4.5 mile an hour wide open, but it lit up dead on, you know. So I neutral shut off, coasting down off the track, you know, kind of thinking, that's kind of crazy what happened. It went 602 every time I went down the track all week. And out of nowhere, it decides to lay over. I'm coasting off the track, and smoke starts coming in the car. Pull over, jump out. You know, I'm panicking. I mean, I'm sitting here looking, this thing blazed up under the hood. I'm thinking this is the end of it. Like, it's fixing to sit here and burn to the ground. I mean, it was the worst feeling I've ever had in my life. I mean, honestly, it was nothing. I mean, you know, it's not the nicest car at the track, but it's one of the nicest cars at the track most of the time. You know, it's sitting here just fixing to melt away. Luckily, you know, the guy next pair's coming down the track after me, and I'm tracking like an idiot. They're trying to get off the track, and I'm like motioning them to come on. They stop, hand me a fire. It was a little when I fogged it under the dash because they was actually flame, like smoke, and pretty hot, and I didn't want to get to the carpet and catch the carpet on fire and then burn the whole car. And you know, by this time the safety safari guys got there with their big fire. We popped the hood, and it slams because it's melted off of the point. So I raise it back up again, and they fog it two big extinguishers and get it put out. So, you know, it don't really know what caused it. Something had to ignite it. Don't know what yet. I'm going to get it tore apart this week and see if I can't really figure out what happened. But pretty heartbreaking.
Yeah, and, you know, you say it's, you know, one of the nicest cars of the track. And, you know, 18-year-old me, my first trip to Huntsville, I thought, man, this guy brought his show car to the drag strip. You know, I'm about to go dust his ass, you know. We go up there, and it was whenever you had the front end really loose. You know, it was – and about 60 foot out, I'm thinking, man, he's about to tear up his show car when that thing comes down. And it was like – you laid down like 9 or 10 total, and I thought, yeah, well, it's a little different down here, I reckon.
9 or 10 total. Somebody else must have been driving.
Oh, no. No, it was definitely you. I think I parked about 3 spots away, and I thought, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and let him go to the lanes first, and I'll – follow shortly after.
Look, if I do that one time, don't ever be afraid it won't happen again. It's a good possibility, Top Bulbin. Don't.
Yeah, that's what they all say.
Yeah, it's true.
So do you have a favorite racing story that you can share with us?
Oh, goodness. I don't know if I got any appropriate to tell.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're not here to make any friends, I guess, so let's have at it.
No, I don't know. I mean, I got so many, it's hard to think of one. I'm not prepared for that question, I guess.
Well, we can come back to it.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, God, I'm a favorite racing story. Yeah.
It's all right. We'll put you on the spot for a minute, but
yeah,
you can even give us a story about what it's like to go to the West Coast with Bones.
I ain't never been on the West Coast with Bones.
I thought you did
it by myself.
Oh, you went
I did by myself. C-Class motorhome, open trailer.
Oh, man.
Yes. Sam blasted his Camaro all the way out to the back.
So the Camaro you took to the Western Swing is the same one that Big Jed didn't wreck but was in when it was wrecked.
Yes. Yes. It's the same one Big Jed took the side off of, whether he's admitted or not. He was the driver and took the side off of it. I did a lot of things. I may have scratched the hood a little bit, but I never took the side off of it. And that might get a few laughs, but that's an inside joke. But everybody, I think people might get that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's terrible. So, you know, we're racers and we're ultra competitive. Give me a round that's kind of stuck with you that, you know, you've never really forgot, whether it's went your way or went the opposite way, or you wish shoulda, woulda, coulda, woulda went back to it and did it a little different.
Oh, me, everyone I lose, man, I can tell you exactly what I should have done to win. You know, it makes for long trips home. You know, it's like so many ways I should have won. You know, I don't know. It's one run I don't reckon ever just really stands out.
I know how you feel, man. I was thinking about that round against you for 3 or 4 days at least.
Yeah, I mean,
with me.
There was probably 6 guys that thought that. There was 6 guys. You weren't the only one that was supposed to beat me that. I'm telling you, I was better than 13-1, top bull race, and won 10 grand. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. On my side, it was just one of them rounds I touched the brake pedal too hard. Shouldn't have done it that hard. I mean, that was the plan, was to kill some, but not that much,
well,
obviously.
Glad you did.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I appreciate it. I'll buy you a drink sometime.
Hey, man, yo, and that's a good, that leads me into this question. You did help me out because after a few drinks, I managed to lock myself out of my trailer. And Adam was there to right after I did it, he shows up with Weaver to pay for methanol they borrowed. So, and the backstory to that is Weaver comes up, and you can elaborate on this, says, well, we only brought 15 gallons of alcohol because we figured that one of us was going to suck.
I actually knew that I was going to suck, and I was hoping he wouldn't suck so we'd get paid. But, you know, he did suck. He sucked too. Heck, I mean, he got the 7, made one good run and lost. I won. I didn't make a good run all day. So, I mean, but hey, it's my car. I can say what I want, right?
That's right.
So what does that say about the future of our youth that a guy like Danny Weaver's a 4th grade elementary school teacher?
Yeah, they don't have much hope. But I guess I am fixing to send my kid to his school.
Yeah, it could be a lot worse.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I've sold my house not long ago. I don't know if y'all heard, mm-hmm. Sold my house. I'm homeless.
10K will buy you a really nice hotel.
Well, hey, I'm living back where I actually used to win a bunch of races, living in my mom and dad's basement at their house. That's where me and my wife and 2 kids live right now, in base my parents' house. And you know, I ain't been beat many times since I've been living back here. So they may have to kick me out.
So say, yeah, just build the house and, you know, let the wife and the kids go to the house and stay in the basement.
Yeah, it's working out for me.
Be home in the wintertime.
Can't race a house anyway.
Yeah, I mean. I'm actually, my racing's fixing to slack off. I've bought me a farm.
Oh, man. Yeah, yeah. I did text you yesterday, and you said, I'm out in the chicken coop. I had to get back with you later.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in the process of buying a couple chicken houses, living on, going to live on a farm, do all that good stuff. I figure my racing day's numbered, so
yeah,
I might as well find me something else to make me doing.
Really slacking lately, you know. You probably should buy some more chicken and some cattle, maybe.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping I get a good answer out of this question this week. What is your do you have a go-to race day meal? Something that you like to eat at the racetrack?
Honestly, I don't eat hardly when I'm racing.
Yep, that's what most everybody says.
I mean, and it's really not. I mean, I don't think I'm good enough that a meal's gonna really affect the way I drive, because you know I'm all over the map most of the time. But I get so busy. I really just don't eat. I mean, like I eat crackers, you know, like this weekend, man. I ate so many crackers, man. I killed the seafood buffet Saturday down at the coast, man. But I was starving. I didn't eat anything all day. But I don't really eat a whole lot when I'm racing.
I think I'm going to start asking all these Alabama guys that we have on the podcast. Are Bones' B, B, and E's as good as he claims they are?
Are his what?
His B, B, and E's.
I guess they ain't worth the crap. I don't even know what a B, B, and E is.
Ooh, I said the same thing, and he said bologna, bacon, and eggs, and I make the best gosh dang something, something. He told me if Cracker Barrel was making them, he'd put them out of business.
Nah, shoot, I ain't never had one, I don't guess.
Phew.
All the racing we've done together, I ain't never had one.
Wow, what a friend he is, you know.
Oh, he's Bones. We all know how he is.
So, I know you stay in Alabama quite a bit, but what do you think about the current state of bracket racing? You know, there's big money races everywhere and promoters everywhere, and it seems like everybody wants to be a promoter until it's time to do promoter things. It's kind of what it's turning up to be. But you know, what do you think? Where's it headed? What's it doing to like Bailenton? What's it doing to local tracks down home and things like that?
Yeah, you know, I don't see that it's hurting Bailenton at all. I mean, we've got 5 tracks within an hour. I think a lot of them are pretty down on cars, but you know, Bailenton draws more cars on a Saturday night than I think any local track does. But I do, you know, I'm sure it hurts a lot of, you know, local tracks, but you know, there's a lot of money out there being won right now, so might as well get it while you
can. Yep, I would agree. I think local tracks are taking a hit, but you know, with all the big money that there is out there to win, guys that are willing to travel, what a great time to be alive. You know, it's amazing. But I don't know what the long-term effects are going to be, you know, whether it's going to keep less people from getting into it, you know, or, you know, I don't know. Hopefully the local track stuff stays strong. I know in Alabama, a lot of places, it's still pretty strong. But up here, you know, where Jake and I are from, we've got race tracks that are closing their doors left and right. Opening, and then maybe they try to open again, and you know, it's a mess.
Yeah, I hate to see that on any road, but you know, we haven't really had that yet here, but I hope we don't.
So you were in the mix of probably the best bottom bob field that's been around in a long time last weekend. Give me a couple guys that really just stand out to you that you don't want to look over and see whenever you go to races like Galen's Footbreak 150s.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you don't never want Hastings or Ellis, or there's so many. You know, I forget to name people, but you don't want to be with you know, Lucas Walker. You don't want to be beside any of them guys. Honestly, me personally, I'd rather, but I make more good runs beside the good racers. I usually lose to the guy I would say that can't win the race. So, I mean, I feel like typically I make a solid run when I run, you know, those guys. So, I mean, I would rather run the, you know, I ain't saying I'd rather run them, but it don't bother me to run them. You know, I typically make good runs. It can go either way. But, you know, I had to run, you know, Caleb Ellison at 5 of the day, you know. That ain't somebody you want to run at 5 cars going 570, you know, just
not at all.
You know, he makes good run, makes solid run, you know, but luckily he read on me and I did. I was a little late. That was the worst light of the weekend. Really, I was 30 and he turned it a little red for me, and I appreciate that.
And that's one of those things where you don't want to race the guy that you think you brought the show car to the racetrack, because he lays down like 9 total.
Yeah. I mean, the guy I run right before him, you know, good racer down that way, he gave me 10 dead 5 to get in on, and luckily I snuck in on him. But you know, I come back around just a little hesitant to hit it. I come off a 005, was a little lazy on it, but I got away with it, and I'll take it.
Yep. And $15,000 worth, you'll take all that, won't you?
Yes, I'll take it. The lady at the bank didn't ask what kind of lights I had.
So have you thought of a racing story yet, or are you passing on that one?
No, me. What kind of story do you want? I mean, you know, what are you looking for?
Man, you just give us something that's worth hearing.
Oh, me. Y'all been asking me too many questions. Like, I ain't had time to think about it. You should have asked me this question at lunch today and give me time to think about it. You know, I could have given you probably a pretty good answer right now. I'm just on the spot, you know. You give me cold feet.
Hey, I'll tell you what. You win another race, then we'll be all right. And we'll have you back on here. But $25,000 in 2 weeks, man, congratulations. Thanks for coming on. It's actually been a good time, and I don't know why everybody's afraid of you down there in Alabama, but anytime you come up here, we'll give you a hard time. We'll try to get on your 15 total packages or lay down 15 next to you and make you get in it. So,
Yeah.
If you could just not come up here, that'd be great.
That's not tough. I'm telling you, I'm just the average old racer getting lucky every now and then.
What's the story about winning 10 and going home? You know, you just want to go out on top or what?
Oh, I mean, that was the plan. We just come to race Saturday and we was going home. We actually expected to be done a lot earlier and get a good meal on the way home, but we messed that up too. We did use all of our luck at the track, though. Y'all might find this kind of hilarious. We did stop at the local Hooters in Nashville there on the way through. We got off, you know, we wasn't very stellar racing, but we roll in the Hooters and sit down at the table. And, you know, most people, you go in Hooters, sit down, you'd like to have a good looking waitress, you know. I'm not saying that she wasn't good looking. I ain't saying that she was or wasn't, but you go into Hooters, you really don't want a 9-month pregnant lady taking care of you. We looked at each other at the same time and said, we used all of our luck today before we got to Hooters.
Hey, man, she's just trying to buy diapers.
Hey, I tipped her well. I mean, you know, I just won some money. I tipped her well. She probably best tip she got all night. I felt bad. I was like, you know, I know diaper. I got two kids. I know diapers are expensive.
It's probably been about 8 months since you got a tip that nice.
Yeah, I guarantee it was. Like, she probably thought she was good. She probably thought she was looking good again.
All right, man. Well, it's been great. You know, we'll let you go and won't keep you much longer. Keep doing it. We'll see you around. And
I appreciate it.
What lane do you prefer?
You know, I run left a lot.
All right, that's what we're gonna go.
But I like right.
Going left
for me.
But I like right.
So, Adam, before we let you go, who makes you go down the road? Who makes this deal happen for you?
Ronnie Maggard at Hoosier. He helps take care of me. I thank the guys at Huntsville Engine, Plord Racing Product, and Luke Siebert, best carburetor on the market, hands down. It's been out twice. It's won a 10 and a 15. Speaks for itself.
Yeah, and Luke himself parked it in there Friday night.
Yeah. Yeah, his car was very impressive, too. His was on gas, you know, so gas and alcohol must be pretty good in his business.
All right, we're really going to let you go this time, buddy. Have a good one. So Zach Adams, just about as good as it gets. He's well refined in the top, bottom bulb. You know, it's always a great conversation talking to those guys. Our In Motion Solutions final round this week. Go buy some stickers. Racing season's coming around. Mm-hmm. Go call Jeff Serra up, InMotionSolutions.com. I know he'll be in Orlando racing something this weekend because he sent me a picture of an airline ticket and said, I wonder what kind of pile they're going to put me in for $100 round trip. So I know he's going to Orlando to test a new car or something for somebody. I'm not really sure, but he's cranking out decals left and right. And if you show him some support, we'll keep this thing rolling. We'll keep having an InMotion Solutions final round every week. And there's plenty to talk about this week as a final round discussion, but we'll kind of wait to see how it plays out. We might talk about it next week. So I think that's about all I've got for you.
Yeah, I think it's a good way to wrap it up. You know, we've had an episode full of interviews, and we certainly enjoyed talking to both Will, and once again, just so glad that he's able to talk to us and that he's all right. And Adam Davis, you know, what an interview. Great, just a down-home, straight-up guy. I mean, you know, it's just a good conversation with a real racer. It's been a good episode. And also, don't forget your dialed-in stickers. Hit Jake or I up. We will
fresh
get them.
Batch.
Yep, we got a fresh batch in. So you can pay us through PayPal. They're only $10 a set, and we will get them out to you. Displayed on the race car, you go win a race. Hey, we'll have you on the show. You know, you can tell us about it. You can give a shout-out to your sponsors. Tell us your best racing story and all that good stuff, and tell us that you'd like to eat ham hocks every time before you race. So
ham hocks.
Yeah, something. I don't know, pig's feet. I want to hear something unique. That's all I get is everybody doesn't eat anything, which I understand, except for Justin Smitty. But anyway, yeah, everybody be safe going to the races this weekend and have a great time, and we will see you in the staging lanes.